A couple of weeks ago, I spoke about heart condition. And do you know that your heart condition is directly impacting upon your eyesight? And an ophthalmologist or an optometrist even, but they can look when they're doing an eye examination, and they can see if you have a heart problem. They can see if you have diabetes. They can see if you're having hypertension, any other kinds of things that they might be able to do. And we took a look at Mark chapter 6 at how Jesus walked with his disciples from the beginning to the end, from feeding the multitudes right through to the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And he tried and tried to get them to understand with their heart who he was, so they could see with their eyes that he is for them and that he's with them. We're going to continue on with that theme. What do you see? What do you see? The life, we're going to talk about living in the power of the Holy Spirit, but you know, there are things that are called optical illusions, and I want to give you a couple of them. What do you see as we take a look at this first one? What do you see? Come on, call it out. What do you see?
A cow,
okay?
Two people looking at each other.
All right, how many see a cow? How many see two people looking at each other? How many see both? All right, let's go on. What do you see? Come on, call it out. What do you see? Okay, a woman.
Playing a saxophone.
A guy playing a saxophone. How many see the guy playing the saxophone? All right. How many see the lady? Okay. All right. All right. Very good. One more. What do you see? You see flowers? See butterflies? See female? How many see flowers? How many see the butterflies? How many see the lady? What do you see as you take a look at the experiences, or even perhaps the singular experience you're going through right now? Now, there's a few of us in the room who do real estate, and this is an age-old thing, but you know, everybody... And so you'll be aware of this. Everybody sees your house a little bit differently. Here's how you see your house. Just lovely. Everything is nice. It's all taken care of. Landscaping is done so wonderfully. But here's how a home is seen by buyer. That's just a funky old cabin in the woods. What are you talking about? Well, how about how it's seen by the bank? There it is. That's how the bank. You go to the bank and you want to get a loan on that home, and they go, well, it's worth 29 cents. What are you talking about? But then you have the appraiser, and that's how the appraiser sees. You know the old trick, don't you? You want it to assess low for taxes, and you want it to appraise high for the sale, right? So you can get $500,000 for that. It's on, after all, $1 million. It's on the waterfront. See that? It's on the waterfront. But then there's, how do you see by the IRS? That's what you've got. The Gospels show us a different perspective of Jesus. Every Gospel has an emphasis. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's why in a room of 50 people, the Holy Spirit can speak 50 different messages, because we each see something that Jesus wants us to see of him, his heart and his character. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he comes as the Son of God and the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And you know, you got Matthew written by a Jew to the Jews. You've got Mark who has the face of the ox, is really basically the one that portrays Mark. He's the servant of all. And then you come to Luke, and Luke is a Gentile, and he preaches to the Gentiles and to the Greeks, and the theme is the perfect man. The Son of God, but he's a perfect man. And all of those wonderful stories that are in Luke as he portrays what Jesus did. And then, of course, you come again to the eagle in the Gospel of John, and he is again the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and all of that. But Jesus had a time where he went into the wilderness. What I want you to do is I want you to take this journey with me this morning, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 4. So if you have your tablet or your phone or your Bible with you or your Bible program, open it up to Luke chapter 4. I'm going to be particularly in the New King James this morning. And Luke chapter 4 tells us a very rich passage of something about our Lord. Luke chapter 3, while you're turning to Luke chapter 4, we find Jesus being baptized and the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus. The Bible says it came on Jesus as a dove. That doesn't mean a bird landed on Jesus. That means the Holy Spirit's presence came gently as an infilling power, presence of the Spirit of God. And he came up out of those waters as a man full of the Holy Ghost. And he teaches us how, as men and women, to receive water baptism and baptism in the Holy Spirit in the presence of God in our lives and walk out this walk with him. With the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your teacher, your reprover, your comforter, your convictor. He's the one who illuminates the Word of God and prompts and leads you. How many are grateful for the Holy Spirit in your life? So Lord, we welcome you and your presence in our lives all of the time. But then he goes into the wilderness. Luke 4 verse 1 declares, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So he comes out of Luke chapter 3 and he is really having had a great experience with the Lord. He comes full of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness. No fair, Lord. What's that all about? And God's got something to do and something to work. Anybody ever feel like you've had that experience? Man, you're riding high, you had a great time with God, you had a great time with Jesus, and all of a sudden the next day, boy, you're thumping your way through the wilderness. Where'd the Lord go? How come you seem so far away? But he's not. But we see something here that Jesus is going to experience for us. Filled and full, the Holy Spirit came upon him and led him into the wilderness. That wilderness in the Greek literally means it's a lonesome desert and a waste place. So it talks in verse 2, Luke 4 verse 2, he was being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, please say the next three words with me, he was hungry. How many think that's probably a duh amen moment? I'll bet he was hungry. By the way, there is a powerful move of God happening throughout our nation and around the world right now where people are really hitting their knees, calling out to God for a fresh move of the Spirit. There's a lot of fasting and prayer that's going on. Some people going 21 days, some people going 40 days. You're not seen by your works, but I urge you, even in this hour, in this time, set aside time to seek the Lord and fast. If it's a partial fast or maybe you skip a meal or to, but you're consecrating your heart to Jesus in a fresh way, saying, Lord, dig out my ears to hear your voice. I'm causing my flesh to be still so I can hear your voice. So he was tempted. And by the way, the Bible says you understand that you'll never be tempted beyond what you can bear. That's what the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13. How many are glad for that? Yes. Sometimes it feels like he thinks we can handle a little more than we do. But he says he'll never test you beyond what you can bear. But just like in school, you guys, although school tried to trick us a little, you only get a test to prove that you can pass it. The Lord teaches us something, puts something in our spirits. Many times we'll have a test. And what he's allowing is an experience to prove to us that we have that. We understand it. It's in our lives. He wants to prove that we can pass the test. Let's talk about testings and temptation. They're real. Mm-hmm. Don't look so holy at me. They're real. Yes. They come. Lust of the flesh. Mm-hmm. The pride of life. Discouragement. Failures. Hatred in the heart. Suicide. Temptation to go in ways that destroy ourselves. You do understand, don't you? And I'm going to say it with real strength. You do understand, don't you, that the devil has nothing good in mind for you? Right. But he tests us in ways, or tempts us in ways, that make it look so appetizing. Anybody here a pyrite? What's pyrite? Fool's gold. It glitters. looks like the real deal, and it's worthless. And the devil tries to tempt us with fool's gold to destroy our lives. Temptations, testing. Let's look what Jesus said. Number one, natural. In the flesh, lusts of the flesh. You have times where there were things that Jesus went through. And in verse 3, it says, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, remember, he fasted for 40 days. And if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. The Bible tells us Jesus was hungry. And that word in the Greek is penao. Can you say that with me? Penao. And it literally means he was famished. He was craving something for food. He was pining for food, something to feed his body. And the devil tempts him here to feed his flesh. Now you understand addictions normally come and start by just wanting an escape. But once engaged, begins its process of ensnaring. It seems like you can control it, or you're foolishly thinking so, until the time comes when you can't. Jesus was hungry. Natural? Normal? But the devil was tempting Jesus to exercise, now listen, exercise his anointing to feed himself when Jesus had come to be the bread of life. Jesus was being tempted to turn upon something to feed himself, and he'd come to do the opposite. The temptation sounds like this today. Take care of yourself. You deserve it. You got me time. You deserve your break today. Uh-oh. Some of you just looking at me like, this is too painful, move on. Isn't that what the temptation of the world? Look at the root of every advertisement that comes on TV. You deserve it. And lots of times I'll look at that and I'll quote, what I really deserve is hell.
Yeah.
But by the grace of God, he saves me and redeems me. But you deserve it. Take care of yourself. Be first. You've got important needs. There are important needs. I understand that. But who belongs first in our lives? Come on, who belongs first?
Jesus
does. And he says, if you'll seek him first in his kingdom, all these things, his righteousness, it'll all be added unto us. Sure, there's a reality, but Jesus was being tempted at the core of who he was and who he's created to be. The devil will tempt you to destroy who you were created to be in Jesus. You know you were birthed with a purpose, right?
Yes.
You're all image bearers. Turn to each other and say, I really like your image. You're all created as image bearers. And you've got a purpose, a plan from God. And the devil wants to come along, tempt you to go a different way, satisfy yourself instead of allowing the Lord to satisfy you. But Jesus delivers from those kind of addictions.
Yes.
Jesus went through this. And he wouldn't let the flesh master him. He was mastered instead by the Word of God. So when you put the Word of God in, he brings it out when we need it. And he strengthens you. His answer, verse 4. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, sometimes in the last 40 years as charismatics, we have taken this word to extreme, but it's a powerful word. That is by every rhema of God. And if you will take a look into the Greek, you have the word logos or logos, and you have the word rhema. Now, charismatics take that to extreme sometimes, and there's been a whole persuasion of teaching that says the written word is logos and God's breathed word to you is rhema. There's truth to that, but it gets taken to extreme. The whole point, though, that word of God that God breathed on, God will breathe his word on you at the right moment, at the right time, to sustain you and me in the middle of our temptation. He doesn't want you to fall. He says he'll succor you. He'll strengthen you. He'll be with you. He loves you. He's with you. He's surrounding you right now. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Before I break a blood vessel, please say amen.
Amen.
But he's with you. He loves you. And he says, come on, put the word of God in. Yeah. And when the temptation comes, you're going to get the word of God out. Yeah. And the right application of the word of God. Because we're going to see that unfold in a little bit too. Normal, natural desire taken to extreme to master him. What you put in will come back out. Put the word in. Put the word in. Listen to the Spirit. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Receive him. And the most common resulting sign of having received that is the gift of speaking in tongues. Not the only sign, but the powerful dunamis, the Greek word dunamis, dynamite. The dunamis power of God in his Spirit fills you. And then when the devil comes along to tempt you, you do what? What does the Bible say? Resist the devil and he must flee from you. Get out in Jesus' name. With authority and with power, you get to declare that word because he's put his word in you. He's invested his Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit's prompting you and giving you the strength that you need. Now I want you to, engaging each other this morning, I want you to turn to each other and even say it gently. You don't have to hit the other person. Say, you need to know the Holy Spirit is in you and with you. Go ahead. You can say that. Number two, temptation. Number two, spiritual temptation deals with worship. And who is your master? We had the mastery over the flesh, and now we're looking at spiritual. Look at verses 5 through 7 of Luke 4. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Well, the devil is a liar and a thief from the beginning. All right? Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. I'll give you power if you worship me. And isn't that the root of every temptation? If you yield to me, I'll give you that escape, that release, that power, that sense of freedom, that fun that you're longing for. I'll give you that thing. But the devil's plans trap you, ensnare you, addict you, when God's plan sets you free and fill you full of power. Amen. If you worship me, by the way, the devil tries to he tries to get you to grasp at what's already yours. How many know Jesus says all authority in heaven and earth belongs to me? So he's saying, I'm going to give you some authority here if you'll just worship me. Jesus already had authority. The devil wants to be your master. Please hear me. Luke 4, verse 8, watch the scripture. Jesus answered and said, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Ephesians 4, 27, don't give place to the devil. Say that with me. Don't give place to the devil. Do you know what the word place is? It's the Greek word topos. What does that sound like? Topos. Topography. Don't let the devil squat on your map. Come on, listen to me, church. Don't let the devil squat on your map. Brush him off the paper. Because God has given you his freedom. Don't give the devil room, space, or a place. What you worship is your master. Now listen carefully. What you worship is your master. You go, come on, Kevin. You know, we talk about other countries who worship other gods, and that's not us. Really? You think we don't worship the God of food in America when on every corner and all throughout the streets there's a restaurant every time you turn around? I'm not against going out, clearly. But we need to not let it be our master. Or how about, you know, a God can be defined as anything to which you give room such that you change your behavior to accomplish it or be with it. Now, how many gods do you see? Little g. What do we give room to that wants to master us? And when we do that, we're worshiping whatever that thing is. And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know that's... Now please, I want you to hear me carefully. The Bible says speak the truth, but speak the truth in love. We have a real issue in our country with life and abortion. And we couldn't even pass as a Senate a law to keep the newly, brand new, freshly born baby alive and give it medical treatment. And it's all under the guise of women's care. Now, ladies, we love you. And if someone has had an abortion, God can forgive anything, administer anything. But let me just use an example. I know I'm a guy talking about this, but Everett Koop, remember, used to be the Surgeon General, was a pediatrician his entire career. And he said, I never knew that you had to kill a baby in order to protect the mother's life. All you did is deliver the baby early. And so this is a huge issue, and we decry it as we should. But we also have to have a heart of understanding for the person who's engaged in the activity, because usually something has drawn them to that point. And the heartbreak that comes afterwards really is a thing in which they need love, grace, and forgiveness and mercy. And we need to be there for the unwed mothers and all of this. But what I'm saying is, so much of what we do is on the altar of our flesh or for me. Let's examine our lives. Now, by the way, please see that when Jesus went through these temptations, he did it for you and me. Come on, he did it for you and me. Forgiveness is possible for anything. Grace and goodness and the blood of Jesus that washes us clean. He did it for you and me. Someone say amen. Amen. Number three, power, arrogance, presumption. Luke 4:9-11. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it's written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus, come on, show your power. You know what this is all about. Take care of yourself. But if you'll do this, you'll get everybody to accept you early. They'll see you sustained. They'll see you powerful. You don't suffer. Come on, Jesus, jump into the big stuff. The only one who could convince him to do that, you ladies have power, was his mom. You know, they're out of wine over there. He goes, hey, woman, my time is not yet. And later he turned the water into wine. You know, okay, mom. But the devil's trying to say, do this now. Listen to what this is after. You don't need to suffer and die. You don't need to go die for the people. Just get your glory. May I say to you, a Christless Christianity is a dead, non-existent Crossless Christianity is a dead, non-existent Christianity. A crossless Christianity is a dead, non-existent Christianity. We don't want to talk about the cross. We don't want to think about that. And Paul said, I came knowing nothing save Christ and Him crucified. The world wants a crossless Christ. The world wants a symbolic Holy Spirit. And the world wants a powerless church. And if we don't give room for the Spirit of God in our lives and to recognize who He is, then that's what's going to happen. Jesus did need to suffer and die because we couldn't do it for ourselves. Can you admit with me that you couldn't save yourself here this morning? The Bible said there's no good, no one good, no, not one. Altogether sinful, filthy, all need Jesus Christ. The only one who could die, be buried, and raised again, and forgive us of our sin. Luke 4:12, Jesus answered and said to him, it's been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Let's talk for a few minutes about living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke 4:14, because we find in 13, the devil left him during that time after Jesus had overcome by the proper application of the Word of God. He knew who he was called to serve and he served him. The devil threw Scripture at him and Jesus knew how to apply the right application of Scripture. You know, somebody can use a verse at you, but that doesn't mean it's the right verse for the right time in the right way and the right application. So we need the Word of God and we need the Spirit to guide us. But 14 says, then Jesus returned, would you boom it out with me please, in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. What's the result of yielding to Jesus in temptation? You got the power of the Holy Spirit to help you overcome. You've got dunamis, you've got dynamite. Remember, wasn't that the 80s? Dynamite. You've got dynamite power. You've got the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But this is more than academic study. Let's just wrap this up with a personal application, shall we? Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Seeing then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet, say it with me, without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Maybe you're here this morning and you've yielded to temptation in the flesh. Maybe you're here this morning and you've worshipped other gods. As you take a look at how does that really apply in my life. Maybe you're here this morning and you've had the devil beating you up with mastery because you opened a door or two. Jesus is here for you this morning. And he says, I'm the God who has grace. I forgive. I died for those sins. Let me take them. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to, as we close, stand with me. Everybody stand with me. And close your eyes, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if that's you this morning, because we're going to pray, and we're going to believe Jesus to minister to you in a beautiful and precious way, because he wants to set you free this morning. Freedom is his idea. Come on, musicians, come on up. The scripture says, and this is powerful, I want you to hold on to Romans 5, verse 17 as we close. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, meaning Adam, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. The Lord is here for you this morning to forgive you, to have grace and mercy and set you on a new path, and he wants us to reign in life with him. Come on, say, Lord,
Lord,
I want to reign in life.
To reign in life
with you.
With you,
Father, I pray for your people this morning. Strength, blessing, encouragement, peace, freedom. We thank you for the cleansing blood that Jesus, you shed for us on the cross. And thank you, Lord, as we contemplate during this time all that you've done. We realize even more. We couldn't have made it through those temptations, but you did, and you're the one who strengthens us in the midst of ours. Thank you, Jesus, that you teach us how to live by the power of your Holy Spirit. And today, Lord, we receive that freedom and that peace. With every eye closed, if that's you, you know the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning. Would you just raise your hand quietly? Just raise your hand if the Lord is speaking. Yeah, there are hands all through the room. Lord, thank you that you know exactly what you're doing in the lives of those gathered here this morning.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that this day, freedom will be your people's portion. Lord, we come in under the shadow of your wings. And we receive your mercy. Follow me in prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you now.
Lord Jesus, I come to you now.
I repent of every sin.
I repent of every sin.
Of every choice I've made.
Every choice I've made.
To go in the direction of self.
To go in the direction of self.
To have other gods before you.
To have other gods before me.
I turn away from that now, Lord.
I turn away from that.
And you're the God I worship.
And you're the God I worship.
Jesus, I surrender to you.
Jesus, I surrender to you.
And I receive your cleansing blood.
And I receive your cleansing.
And now I know I'm free.
Now I know I'm free.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And they all said,
Amen.
If you're a guest with us this morning, we thank you for being here. We invite you back with us every Sunday morning at 10. Remember, there's a grace gathering at 1 o'clock at 240 Maple Lane on Wednesday, and a ladies' Bible study on Thursday at 11, and you're more than welcome. You guys, the Lord loves you so much, and it's a real privilege and pleasure to worship Him together with you. Go out with the joy of the Lord. If you've been convicted of sin, He doesn't do that to bash you over the head. He does it to set us free. So receive that freedom, receive His cleansing blood, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. Raise your hands for the blessing, would you please? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen. Be released. Have a fantastic day in the Lord. God bless.